In a world where, financial markets can feel like a bit of a roller coaster and inflation seems really stubbornly entrenched, many of us are searching for alternative tangible assets. What if we told you one of the most exciting and potentially lucrative options is actually something you can drive? Today, we're taking a deep dive into the fascinating world of classic cars as an investment, specifically looking towards 2025. Our mission. Well, we're going to unpack why these beautiful machines are not just turning heads in the financial world, but actually making serious money for smart investors. We'll highlight specific models poised for some impressive growth, really explore what makes them valuable in the long run, and even touch on how major global events are shaping this, well, unique market. Get ready for some serious aha moments, I think. And here's an initial tease for you. Did you know vintage cars have actually outperformed the S&P 500, art, wine, and watches in the last decade? Let's unpack this. That statistic about outperforming the S&P 500, that's genuinely eye-opening. This isn't just a niche hobby for a few dedicated collectors anymore, is it? What's fundamentally driving this, significant shift towards classic cars as serious investments, especially right now?
Well, what's fascinating here is how directly it connects to the global financial landscape. We're seeing, stubborn inflation, ongoing macroeconomic challenges,
Right.
and an underperforming stock market that are collectively pushing investors to look beyond the traditional avenues. People are actively seeking tangible assets that offer both stability and genuine growth potential. And vintage cars are surprisingly adept at fulfilling that role. They're physical, they're finite.
Tangible.
Exactly. And they offer a sense of control that often feels while missing in digital portfolios.
That 185% growth over the last 10 years, cited by the Frank Knight Wealth Report, it's undeniably impressive. But when we hear numbers like that, the immediate thought for some might be bubble. What's your perspective on the sustainability of these returns? Are there underlying fundamentals suggesting this isn't just a fleeting trend?
That's a critical question, yeah. And it gets to the core of why classics are such a powerful diversifier. Their prices are generally not correlated to traditional assets like stocks or bonds.
Huh.
So this means that when the stock market dips, classic car values don't necessarily follow suit. They often hold steady or even rise. This non-correlation provides a unique hedge against market volatility, making them really attractive for portfolio diversification. It's not just speculative, it's about holding an asset that operates on different market dynamics, driven by passion and rarity as much as, pure economics.
So you can actually drive your investment. That's pretty cool. Definitely not something you can do with a stock certificate or a painting. But let's address the elephant in the garage. Is it only for the ultra wealthy? Or can someone with a more modest budget genuinely get in on this?
Not at all. And that's a key insight we really need to highlight. While the multi-million dollar high-end certainly exists, many investment-worthy classic cars can be purchased for sums in the low thousands of dollars.
Really, low thousand.
Absolutely. This democratizes the pursuit significantly, dispelling that myth that it's exclusively for millionaires. It's truly become a worldwide phenomenon, moving well beyond just a small elite group of hardcore collectors to a much broader base of enthusiasts and savvy investors.
And the market itself shows significant upward momentum. Research projects the global classic car market reaching approximately $44 million in 2025, a solid increase from a previous valuation of just under $40 million for the same year. That kind of growth trajectory certainly makes it an attractive
It
space.
really signals a robust and expanding interest, yeah.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting for many of us, I think. Let's talk specifics. What vehicles are experts tipping as the best classic cars to buy for investment in 2025? We've got a fantastic mix here, from established beauties to some, well, truly surprising contenders.
We absolutely do. Let's start with a category we could maybe call accessible European luxury with proven pedigree. Think of models like the Mercedes SL from, say, 1980 to 2001. With prices generally in the $12,000-$13,000 range, these are in hot demand right now. They offer a comfortable drive, they represent a huge brand with over 60 years in the market, and their prices have been steadily rising with that trend expected to continue.
That makes a lot of sense, a reliable brand with that enduring appeal. And what about something with a bit more Italian flair?
Ah, for sleek Italian style, the Alfa Romeo Spider, produced between 66 and 82, is a strong contender. Average prices are around $16,650.
Okay.
But the 1970 and 1973 versions, in particular, can sell for anywhere from $17,000 up to $37,000. That 73 model, in fact, saw a massive spike in sales in the last 5 years.
Wow.
And it's not just the appreciating value. These cars offer what many describe as dream handling and are genuinely enjoyable to drive and own. That's a key factor in sustained desirability, you see.
So it's not just the numbers, but the whole experience. Gotcha. Now for something perhaps a bit more unexpected. What about an affordable Japanese icon?
Right. For an emerging Japanese gem with high potential, look at the Toyota MR2 from 1984-1989, priced from maybe $4,000 up to $14,000.
Okay, that's accessible.
Very. It captures that distinctive 80s styling and, crucially, benefits from Toyota's legendary reliability and engineering. These early models, the AW11 chassis code ones.
Right, the first gen.
Yeah, with their independent suspension, a lively twin-cam engine, which means dual camshafts for better valve timing and performance, and those iconic pop-up headlights.
Love those.
They're truly gaining traction. Rust-free, 125-horsepower examples are highly appreciating. It's a low-cost entry with potentially high returns for a pure, engaging driving experience.
I love how these affordable options are showing such promise. Shifting gears to a more established performance brand, Porsche. Always a strong contender. We know the 911 is a blue-chip classic, but what's happening with models like the 924? Is that seeing movement?
Absolutely. The Porsche 911, you know, from 65 right through to recent years, consistently performs. It was the highest-selling classic Porsche back in December 2021. Prices steadily rising. But for an unsung hero, the Porsche 924 from 75 onwards is fascinating.
How so?
Well, it was initially considered, let's say, lower quality by some tourists.
Right, the VW connection.
Exactly. But now it's recognized for its value. You can still pick one up for around $10,000, maybe less. But the more powerful Turbo or S models, known for their enhanced performance and handling, those are excellent investments and rapidly increasing in value.
Interesting. And for the top tier Porsche, what about the classic 930 Turbo?
Ah, the Porsche 911 Turbo, specifically the 930 generation from 75 to 89. The Widowmaker.
Indeed.
Fastest German road car of its era. Prices here vary wildly based on condition, naturally, from maybe $25,000 or so for models needing significant work to upwards of $100,000, maybe more, for those in excellent condition. Good condition 930s are almost certain to be high-end auction items in 2 or 3 decades. They're a testament to Porsche engineering and their historical significance.
Moving across the channel to some British charm and niche gems, the Jaguar XJS, built from 75 to 96, seems to be making a comeback.
It is. Available as a coupe or convertible, these luxury tours with their smooth V12 engines, known for that effortless power delivery.
Silky smooth.
Exactly. Particularly well-serviced models, they are expected to increase in value quite nicely.
Okay. And then there's a bit of quirky one, the Triumph Stag.
Yes. The Triumph Stag, 1970, 1977, famously known for, well, appalling reliability back in its day.
Yeah.
But those issues are now easily fixed by modern mechanics and specialists. It gained fame as James Bond's car in Diamonds Are Forever, right?
That's right.
And with less than 26,000 built, the powerful 3-liter V8 four-seat convertible is uniquely positioned for growth. You get the joy of driving a Michelotti-styled classic now with, hopefully, modern reliability.
I remember the Stag from those Bond films. It definitely had a certain allure. What else in the European market are we seeing potential in?
The BMW E24 6 Series from 76 to 89. This was the first generation of BMW's luxury tourers.
The shark nose.
That's the one. Known for excellent performance, keen dynamics, sharp steering, they're stylish, brilliant to drive, and parts are relatively easy to come by, which makes them a practical daily driver possibility and a sound investment. And for reliable retro cool, don't overlook the Volvo 1800 ES.
Roger Moore's car from the same.
Exactly. It's such an evocative 60s sports car, that shooting brake design. It offers all the reliability you'd expect from Volvo, light controls, a torquey engine, good safety rating. It's often called a best-kept investment secret.
Okay, good tip. And for Ford fans, anything in the rally heritage and mainstream appeal category?
Oh, yes. Ford cars are becoming top vintage investments. Especially the Escort RS2000, particularly the MK2.
Right. Big rally history there.
Huge. Demand for the RS2000 far outstrips supply. And models featuring the renowned Cosworth engine, famous for its rally-bred performance, are predicted to appreciate the most. Look for original RS parts. That's key. The Ford Capri MK1 from the late 60s to late 80s is another instantly recognizable coupe.
The car you always promised yourself.
Precisely. While already a classic, its prices haven't soared through the roof just yet, though they've risen noticeably in the past 18 months or so. You can still pick up entry-level models for around $12,000, maybe less. Desirable models, the 280 Brooklands, the 2.8i Special, and the extremely rare MK2 1300. Very few of those left.
We can't forget the quintessential British sports car classic, the MG MGA.
Definitely not. The MG MGA from 1955 to 1962 saw some models jump, what was it, 47% in value back in 2017 at its peak.
Wow.
Over 101,000 were produced, but most were exported, leaving only about 5,900, maybe fewer now, in the UK. Both the convertible and coupe versions have steadily increased in value. They offer light steering, lively performance, and that sleek, beautiful appearance makes them a joy to own and drive.
Now, for a more accessible entry point, perhaps. What's a potential no-brainer investment that won't break the bank?
I'd say the MK1 Volkswagen Golf GTI from 1975 onwards. It's one of the cheaper options. You're unlikely to exceed, say, $7,500 for a decent one right now.
The original hot hatch.
The ultimate hot hatch. It was one of the first cars to successfully blend fun and practicality. Its cultural impact alone makes it arguably a no-brainer investment that will only continue to increase in value.
Okay. Looking maybe a bit further ahead for future icons, we're seeing some relatively recent models pop up. The MK1 Audi TT from 98 onwards. That's interesting.
It is fascinating. It's not yet a classic technically, but its unique Bauhaus-inspired design aesthetic will almost certainly appeal to collectors in decades to come. Typically priced between maybe $2,500 and $10,000 right now. It requires a longer hold for significant ROI, definitely, but the potential is absolutely there.
And of course, we can't talk about iconic design without mentioning
the DeLorean DMC-12. Has to be mentioned. 1981 to 1983.
Great Scott.
Exactly. Famously, the time machine from Back to the Future. That cultural association alone makes it a true classic. With less than 10,000 units made and production halting way back in 83, they're increasingly rare and costly. Prices range hugely, maybe $18,000 for a project up to $75,000 or more for a pristine example. Its pop culture status is just a massive value driver.
We've covered some fantastic opportunities in today's classic market, but for many of us, the real thrill might be identifying tomorrow's icons. Let's fast forward a bit. What about the cars that shaped our generation, the ones we might have dreamed of owning? Which modern vehicles seem destined for classic status and, you know, significant investment value down the line?
Right. If we zoom out a bit and look at the broader trends, as those 80s and 90s models fully transition into classic status, it's absolutely time to identify today's potential antiques. These are cars from this century that, while their prices might be relatively low now, could become big players in the antique game over the long term. They represent excellence in design, engineering, or perhaps limited production.
Okay, give us some of those future classic picks. What should we be looking out for right now, potentially?
Certainly. The Audi R8, the first generation, released between 2006 and 2015. It caused quite a stir on release, didn't it, with its unique design and that surprising everyday usability for a supercar.
Absolutely. Very usable.
About 40,000 were released globally, but, and this is key, only about 5,000 were manual versions.
Ah, the gated manual.
Exactly. These durable supercars, especially those increasingly rare manual transmissions, could really multiply an investment in the coming decades.
So it's that combination of inherent quality and specific desirable features like the manual gearbox that will drive future value. Makes sense.
Precisely. Rarity within a desirable model is absolutely key. Then there's the Ferrari GTO 599 from 2010-2011.
Okay, serious metal.
Serious metal. A stunning front-engine car, incredible performance, lots of bespoke manufacturing options available at the time. Now, it won't ever reach the dizzying heights of a, say, $70 million Ferrari 250 GTO.
No, probably not.
But it's a very strong candidate for a future classic with potentially incredible returns due to its performance pedigree and, again, limited numbers. Only 599 were made.
And some Mercedes models, too, I hear. Potential future classics.
Yes, definitely. The Mercedes SLS AMG Black Series from 2013-2015. This was a special edition inspired by the iconic 300 SL Gullwing.
The Gullwing connection, right.
Boasting that powerful 6.2-liter naturally aspirated V8. With a production run of less than 1,000 vehicles worldwide, its sheer exclusivity and that connection to a legendary predecessor make it a top investment pick for the future. And for something a bit out of the box, maybe, the Mercedes G65 AMG V12 from 2012-2015.
The V12 G-Wagon.
Exactly. A bit bonkers. This limited edition SUV with its massively powerful V12 engine and, you know, the usual G-Wagon sleek but boxy exterior. Only about 1,000 units were released globally. That makes them highly coveted future vehicles. They're rare and just over-the-top luxury are what will drive their long-term value.
Okay, so it's one thing to buy a classic car, maybe even a future classic. But how do you ensure its value holds or even grows? What stands out to you as the most important factor in safeguarding such an investment?
That's a crucial point, yeah. And it's where a true deep dive into the market dynamics becomes essential. There are certain old standards that are just perennially desirable and tend to hold their value remarkably well. Think of the Jaguar E-Type, especially the early Series 1 flat floor models. Porsches with motorsport connections like the 71 Carrera RS and the iconic Porsche 356. Classic Ferraris like the Testarossa 512M 250 GT 275 GTS.
The blue chips.
The blue chips, exactly. And Mercedes models such as the 300 SL, the pre-war cars, and even the R107 SL series from the 70s and 80s. They consistently show strong value. Now, this raises an important question. Why do some cars experience rapid growth and then maybe a dip, while others maintain a pretty steady value?
Yeah, like the examples you mentioned.
Right. Take the Aston Martin DB5. It enjoyed consistent appreciation, especially with its James Bond fame boosting it. But then it fluctuated downwards, moving from over $900,000, maybe peaking higher, down to around the $600,000 mark or so. In contrast, the Aston Martin V8 Vantage from the same sort of era consistently remained around, say, $250,000, $375,000. The difference often lies in market sentiment and perhaps speculative buying versus a solid, broad collector base. The DB5 can be prone to the fickle nature of ultra-high net worth investors and specific auction results.
Okay.
While the V8 Vantage might appeal to a wider, more consistent pool of dedicated enthusiasts who value its driving dynamics and its less volatile market.
That's a fantastic insight, really critical for investors to understand that difference.
Yeah.
So what is that secret sauce then? Let's dive into those core attributes that really dictate a classic car's long-term worth.
Absolutely. One major factor is cultural relevance. Cars that become culturally significant often have a more secure and enduring value because they tap into a broader public consciousness.
Like the Bond cars.
Exactly. The Aston Martin DB5 is forever the James Bond car. It's a piece of cinema history that transcends mere automotive enthusiasm. The Lamborghini Miura's appearance in The Italian Job cemented its place, plus it's arguably the first true supercar. It reliably commands, what, $1.8 million or more? This kind of broad recognition creates a lasting emotional connection and a widely recognized brand for the car itself, attracting not just hardcore enthusiasts, but also affluent general investors seeking iconic pieces. That sustained emotional value differentiates it from a purely performance-driven collectible.
Makes sense.
Then there's rarity. Now, the fewer units produced, often the higher the value, but it's more nuanced than just raw production numbers.
How so?
True rarity is also about survival rate and desirability. The Jaguar XKSS is an exceptional example. Only 16 were ever made originally. Mm. Plus, it has that fascinating story of the Browns Lane factory fire, the restoration, famous owners like Steve McQueen.
King of cool.
Right. That extreme scarcity, coupled with an incredible story and incredibly high desirability, magnifies its value exponentially.
So it's not just about how few are made, but how many are left and how much people want them. And beyond the car's inherent qualities, how you care for it seems absolutely paramount.
Oh, completely. Condition is paramount. Keeping the car in the best possible condition, both mechanically and cosmetically, is essential. It needs to start on the button, meaning reliably and instantly. Sympathetic mechanical upgrades things like an upgraded radiator, maybe improved cooling systems, electronic ignition for reliability, or better brakes for safety. Those are generally never wasted money.
They enhance usability.
Exactly. They enhance usability and reliability without really detracting from the core originality, often making the car more appealing to buyers who actually want to drive them. Exterior and interior condition are also highly important, obviously, as they directly impact desirability and resale value.
Okay. And the ultimate factor for the really high prices?
That would be originality. This is the factor driving the highest investment prices on the serious collector market. Cars are only original once, as they say. While minor, reversible alterations like adding seat belts or maybe a subtle period correct air conditioning unit are generally acceptable, even welcomed for usability.
Right.
Major irreversible changes or modifications that deviate significantly from factory specifications can really deter buyers looking for the purest example. The closer to factory specification, generally, the higher the premium.
It sounds like there's a lot to consider beyond just the initial purchase price then.
Yeah.
What practical advice should our listener keep in mind before jumping into this market, maybe to avoid some common pitfalls?
Right. It's absolutely crucial to be realistic. First, think carefully about how you'll actually use the vehicle, your budget, obviously, and crucial logistics like storage options. Where are you going to keep it? If you want a car for regular driving, maybe avoid those ultra low mileage Conker's condition cars, because every mile you add potentially reduces their asking price.
Good point.
You also really need to recognize that the purchase price is just the beginning. Maintenance bills, especially for rarer or more exotic classics, will be a significant factor in your overall return on investment. Do your homework. Research typical maintenance costs, common problems, the availability and cost of parts for any model you're considering. Get pre-purchase inspections from specialists who know that specific mark or model. An ounce of prevention is worth, well, a pound of cure, or in this case, potentially tens of thousands of dollars saved.
Absolutely. Now, it's impossible to discuss investments in 2025 without acknowledging the broader global situation. How has something like the war in Ukraine, for example, affected the classic car market? What are the ripple effects we're seeing?
Yeah, if we put this into a wider context, it's clear that global upheaval significantly impacts niche markets like classic cars. Though, of course, the scale of human tragedy far outweighs any economic concerns. As of 2025, the economic slowdown resulting from sanctions on Russian imports, particularly oil, has contributed to rising gas prices and soaring inflation across many regions.
Right, fuel costs.
Exactly. That trend is unlikely to cease soon, directly impacting the cost of running any vehicle, classic or modern.
And beyond the direct economic costs, things like transportation and just general sentiment must also play a significant role, right?
They absolutely do. International transportation, which was already strained by the pandemic, hasn't fully recuperated. Shipping vintage cars has often fallen in priority as, say, Western European nations prepare for potential wider conflict and prioritize essential goods movement. There's also a powerful sentiment aspect. People may feel a sense of, well, guilt about ordering or investing in luxury items like vintage cars during such turbulent times. This can subtly shift demand patterns.
Interesting.
However, this also leads to some interesting market shifts. While driving vintage cars might be more expensive due to fuel costs, there's a general consensus in countries like the US and UK that sanctions on Russia are, you know, preferable for geopolitical reasons. This preference can actually lead to a predicted surge of interest in local buying, selling, and trading within those countries.
Why local specifically?
Well, the mechanism here is multifaceted. It includes reduced international shipping complexities and costs, maybe a sense of national pride in supporting domestic industries, and perhaps a perceived stability in domestic markets compared to international ones during global conflict. This localized focus could potentially boost American brands within their home market, for instance.
So we might see more focus on homegrown classics within the U.S. market, for example. What kinds of models are we talking about here?
Precisely. You might look out for iconic models like the 66-67 Pontiac GTO, which could retail around $74,000 or so, or maybe the 65-70 Cadillac DeVille convertible, often priced around $35,200. These big American classics may see increased interest and appreciation from American connoisseurs seeking value and iconic design closer to home, tapping into that sentiment of domestic preference and stability.
So it's really not just about the car itself, but also understanding the wider economic, logistical, and even social currents influencing its value. This really underscores the deep dive approach we aim for.
Exactly. Being knowledgeable, especially at a time like this, is crucial, both as a responsible investor and, frankly, a responsible human. For anyone looking to invest, check online sales platforms, maybe silent auctions, embrace the contactless era where possible, but most importantly, stay meticulously informed on global news and market trends. The more informed you are, the better positioned you'll be to navigate these unique market dynamics.
We've certainly navigated the diverse roads of classic car investment today. From the surprising financial returns and specific models poised for growth, to the critical factors like cultural relevance, rarity, condition, and originality, and even the often overlooked impact of global events. So what does this all mean for you, the listener? It's clear that investing in classic cars is a blend of passion, meticulous research, and, let's be honest, a bit of a thrill. It's an investment that engages not just your wallet, but your senses, too. As the source material we looked at so eloquently points out, as 2025 modern cars get bigger, uglier, and more complex, the relative simplicity and undeniable beauty of classics become even more appealing. Perhaps the true enduring value of these timeless artifacts of an era of splendor and luxury isn't just financial, but in the joy, the history, and the sheer craftsmanship they represent. It's a tangible connection to an art form that continues to resonate even in an uncertain future. So the final thought for you is, what classic story will you choose to invest in?